But since I know people come late, it's all an introduction, which has nothing to do with the actual content of this year. Coming to this campus, I'm reminded of many wonderful years that I spent teaching here. My career here began before you were born, way back in 1977. I taught for 10 years. Used to come at night, give a class or two. Usually very well attended, Baruch Hashem. And many, many wonderful students I'm still in contact with so many years later. After 10 years, I had to give it up. Things got too busy. But Dean Bacon asked me a favor if I would come back to teach if I had a child who was attending Stern College. I said yes. As it happened, I have three daughters, all of whom attended this august institution. So I came back to teach three times. The first time I came back, my oldest daughter, that was in 1994, after a seven-year hiatus. And I taught two classes. Again, I used to come at night. And they were very well attended. So well, as a matter of fact, that I remember that one class had 57 students and one had 43 students. So I told Dr. Bacon as follows. I agreed to come back to teach my daughter so my daughter could be in my class. But the Chazal of an expression, ner le'echod ner le'meyah, that a candle for one can be a candle for 100. If you add that 57 and 43, there were 100 students in my classes and I really came for one. Baruch Hashem, it was a wonderful experience for those 2 years. Then my next daughter, my youngest daughter who graduated, I think 2008, not all that long ago. It's not even 7 years since then. Then I don't have any more daughters. My oldest granddaughter, some of them are in high school age already, so we'll see. So it's a pleasure. That's just an introduction while people are still streaming in. I assume that now that it's a few minutes after 8, everyone is here by now. And we're supposed to discuss a very important topic. Elul, halfway through, are we ready? The truth is, it's a slight exaggeration. Tonight is the 14th night of Elul. It's really tomorrow night. That's the exact halfway point. Elul has 29 days. So the 15th is really the precise midpoint, but you know, it's already close enough. So it's about halfway through, and are we ready? Of course, you understand very well that the name Elul means different things to different people, and our readiness depends on our attitude. I spoke at my shul, Shabbos Mevorcha Machodesh Elul, about a tradition which existed in parts of Europe that when the Chazan would chant Rosh Chodesh Elul Yir, will be whatever day of the week it comes out, you know, whatever, like this year, I believe it was Tuesday and Wednesday, if I'm not mistaken, Rosh Chodesh Elul, is that correct? Rosh Chodesh Elul? So the story went that in parts of Europe, when people would hear, especially when the women in the Ezra's Nation would hear Rosh Chodesh Elul Yir, they would either cry out, screaming and crying, or some would have it, they fainted. They fainted from the dread of Chodesh Elul, Rosh Chodesh Elul Yir, which indicates that in a month's time, we're all going to be facing a very difficult judgment in the Bez Neshamala. Another tradition had it that when Chodesh Elul would come, even the fish in the water would tremble. I'm just by show of hands. Has anyone in this room ever heard of either of these traditions from Europe? Yeah, a few people, not too many. Okay, a lot of our traditions have no longer been passed on. I just heard recently that someone asked a question that they looked in the river and they saw the fish and the fish weren't trembling. How can it be? There's a tradition. And the Chodesh Elul, even the fish in the water tremble. And the response was given, you got it all wrong. The tradition didn't mean literally that the fish in the water trembled more that month than any other. What it really meant that the person is trembling. By definition, try it once. If you're trembling, you're going like this, by definition, the fish looks like it's trembling, but it's really you're trembling. Well, that's a new twist on the tradition of yesteryear. We're not here to spend the entire shiur on traditions of yesterday. We're here to talk about today and, most importantly, tomorrow, the remainder of the second half of Chodesh Elul. And let us begin by analyzing what the word Elul means. I'm sure that many of you are familiar, and I'm going to ask you as we go, different Roshei Tevos, different acronyms associated with the four letters of Elul, Aleph, Lamed, Vav, Lamed. So if you know one, raise your hand and I'll call upon you to see if you really know what Elul stands for. Anybody? Yes? Correct. That's the most famous of all of them. Ani l'dodi v'dodi li. Now, interesting. Why is that particular reference to the month of Elul? Ani l'dodi, as the dodi li, as you all know, is a verse taken from Shir HaShirim, and it seems to have equal applicability to each and every month of the year. Why is it only applying an Elul and not an Av, for example, the previous month? So there's another pasuk in Shir HaShirim. And that pasuk says, Dodi li v'ani lo. You ever hear of that one? Some people sing it even. Right? Some sing, I need a Dodi with Dodi li. Eitan Katz has a new beautiful tune to those four words. Beautiful, beautiful. But when I was growing up, they sang, Dodi li v'ani lo. Haroeh b'shal shanim. From Shir HaShirim. So what's the difference between the two of them? And how does it apply to the month of Elul? So perhaps the answer can be found. The month of Av, which immediately precedes Elul, is most noteworthy for having Tisha B'Av in it. And Tisha B'Av is well known for the Megillah of Eicha, which we read. And probably the most famous pasuk of all Eicha is the last one, actually. It's the penultimate pasuk, which we repeat after the last one. This one, they also sing many different tunes. Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha V'Nashuva Chadesh Yomeinu Kekedem. Very, very famous pasuk. Fine. Beautiful pasuk. It's a beautiful pasuk. And all the songs are beautiful as well. But there's another pasuk. And you're not going to believe it. That same CD by Eitan Katz. This is the name of the CD. Who knows what's the name of the CD? What's the name of the CD? Shuvu. Shuvu elai v'ashuva aleichem. Now wait a minute. That's the opposite. Hashiveinu Hashem elecha v'nashuva. We ask Hashem to come back to return to us, and then we'll take the next step and come back to Him. But all of a sudden, we hear on the CD, Shuvu elai v'ashuva aleichem. Anyone know where that pasuk comes from? Anybody? Shuvu elai v'ashuva aleichem. If I'm not mistaken, comes from the Navi Malachi. I believe it is an Haftorah for Shabbos Agoro, which I recite every year, so I should know where it's coming from. I think it's where it is. If I'm wrong, you'll let me know. But again, a difference in the nuance. Who takes the first step? Who makes the first move? Perhaps, once heard, this is the distinction between Elul and the remainder of the year. All year long, we say to Hashem, Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha V'Nashuva, even as late as Chodesh Av. And that corresponds to Dodi Li V'Ani Lo. We are responsive. We are reacting. Chodesh Elul, everything changes. Elul is flipped around. We must seize the initiative. Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li. We have to make the first move, or Shuvu Elai V'Shuvu Aleichem. That is the title track, if you will, of this beautiful, beautiful new CD by Eitan Katz. It's the last of 10 tunes. Who knows what the first tune is called? Anyone know? Nigun Shel Elul. So this is really on point. If you don't have it yet, you should buy it. It's very good, beautiful Nigunim, which are perfect for this time of the year to give us an opportunity to improve our feelings, our emotions, and our closest to Hashem with the Korach HaNegina. The Korach HaNegina is a very powerful tool in coming close to HaKadosh Baruch. That perhaps is what Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li means. We take the first step as opposed to the rest of the year when, for better or worse, we're more reactive and waiting for Hashem to take the first step So we can respond, Dol di li vani lo, or Hashiveinu Hashem Alecha v'nashuva, Chodesh El ani le dol di li, or Shuv Elai v'yashuv Alech. Good. Does anybody know, before we get to additional Rosh Tevos of Elul, which I'm sure you all have, can't wait to raise your hands, does anyone know what the word Elul really means, though? What the word means, the translation of the word Elul, before we get to other additional acronyms. Anybody know? This is the hardest of them all. It's not found in the Mishnah Berurah, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, or all those other places where they have all the acronyms listed. No one knows, okay? If one looks in the beginning of Parshas Shlach, who knows what is the very first pasuk or two talk about in Parshas Shlach? What happens? What's going on? The Meraglim. Shlach lecho anashim. Next word. V'yasuru es Eretz Kanaan. And they will spy and examine whether Eretz Kanaan is conquerable. Targum Unculus. Every single Chumash has it, just about. It's hard to find a Chumash without Unculus. Open up the Targum Unculus at the beginning of Shlach, you'll see. Via Alelun. They will spy means via Alelun. What does Elul really mean before any acronyms? After any acronyms? It means to spy, to examine, to search. This indeed is the hallmark of Chodesh Elul. And as a matter of fact, when we prep for Chodesh Elul in the month of Av, we mentioned before the famous pasuk of Hashiveinu, there's another pasuk which is pretty famous in Elul, in Megillas Eicha. It's in the third perek. Third perek, as you probably know, has a triple Aleph Beis theme. In the letter Nun, Nachbisa derachenu v'nachkora v'nashuva Hashem. Before repenting before Hashem, we are required to involve ourselves in Nachbisa derachenu, in searching our ways, v'nachkora, and examining them. No word is superfluous or redundant. Nachbisa is to search. To search. If you look in the beginning of Psachim and talk about Bedikas Chametz, they quote that root. Nachbisa, we search. You search for Chametz. You're looking for it. You try to find it. So too, we have to be Nachbisa Durachenu. We have to search for our ways. This is a prerequisite for tshuva. If someone doesn't mind giving me a Rambam Hilchos Tshuva, I'll read you a particular phrase from the Rambam, which I believe is very instructive in terms of, is there a Rambam here? In terms of what it means, Durachenu. It doesn't say in the Pasuk in Eicha, we're going to check for sins, which by the way, Chometz represents, as you probably are aware. It says, Nachbasa Durachenu. To look at our derech, our way, and search our way to see, thank you so much, if our way has something wrong with it. Appreciate it. What does it mean, a derech? What does it mean, a way? Some of us may correctly, and I'm not against this at all, some of us may correctly make a cheshbon ha-nefesh, an introspection to find out how many sins we have committed over this past year. And there's plenty to reckon and to search. But the Rambam tells us in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Zayin, Halacha Gimel, Al toma she'ein ha-tshuva ele me'averos she'esh ben masa. Don't think that tshuva is limited to sins of commission, of deeds. He gives some very distressing examples. Znus, gezel, u'gneva, immorality or theft? No. Kishem shetzorech adam loshuv meil. Certainly, is it required to tshuva? Kachu tzorech lechapes bideos ros. The Rambam deos means what we call midos ros. Sheyeshlo, that he has or she has. v'loshuv mehen, and to repent and to better our ways. And before I get to the what I call the seven deadly sins that are found in Rambam, how does he conclude this halacha? V'chein omer yazov rosha darko v'ish oven machshavosov. Where's that pasuk come from? Anybody know where that's coming from? Which Navi? Again, louder. I think it's coming from Hosea. No, it's coming from Yeshaya. This is in the Haftorah for Atanas Sibur. If I'm not mistaken. And therefore, this is a, once again, an expression of Darko, what I called before Nachbasa Dirachenu, Dirachenu, our way. Machshavosav is our thoughts. And the Rambam says, these sins, which we'll enumerate momentarily, Elo Avonos Koshin Meolson Shesh B'Masa. It's harder to repent from a wrong derech, if you will, than from acts of commission, from sinful acts. Shebizman she'odam nishka be'elu, when you're involved in these, we'll call midos roles, koshu lifrosh, it's hard to separate. Rabbi Yisrael Salanta, the famous founder of the Muslim movement, said, it's more difficult to change one midah than to finish all of Shas, the entire Talmud. That's not so easy to finish the whole Talmud. But it's even more difficult to change even one bad character trait. The Rambam is about to enumerate, I think the number comes to seven. And I'm going to read it to you, and pay careful attention. You want to take notes? Figure out, you have another, we're halfway through Elul. You have about 2 more weeks. Gives you about 2 days to take care of each one of these mitzvahs. All right? These are 14 days. Okay, what are they? One, kas. Need I translate? Need I? No. Everyone knows kas means anger. Eva. Hatred. Kina. Jealousy. This is a little harder word. Tacharus. Competition, which is inappropriate. Okay. Hitul. What is hitul? Hitul means scoffing. Some of us call it leitzonos. Hitul, that's 5. Then it's a double, because he has a min, which goes on to umin redifas hamamon v'hakovod. He puts them as one. We'll count it as one. Number 6. Running after money or honor. I believe the two go together because they go together. A person wants a lot of money, so it should be honored. You can't eat money. What do you have to have so much money for? Well, the more money you have, the more you're honored as a gvir, as a rich man, etc. And the final one, forgive me for mentioning it here, but I feel I must. Umeredifas ha-ma'acholos umechayotze behen. You believe this? Rambam puts in dieting, or the lack thereof, as one of the 7 deadly sins. If you're running after food, you have to do tshuva from that. You may be familiar with the fact that the Rambam famously has in Hilchos Deos a diet. I read in one of the recent magazines, if you saw it, tell me which one, maybe Mishpoch, I already forgot where, Jewish Action, I had a few things coming to my desk, I don't know what it is. The Rambam's diet is the best diet. Did you read it? Someone?
Yeah, it was
at Mishpacha. Somewhere, I read it recently. Forget the Atkins diet, and forget the grapefruit diet, and the Mediterranean diet. Forget all the low carb. Just follow the Rambam. You know what that really is fundamentally? The most fundamental part of the Rambam's diet is what the Yekis, the Germans, used to say in their diet. EDH. In German, Es der Halbe. Just eat half. Everything, no problem. Just eat half. Don't run. The Rambam said, don't finish your plate. You know, the good Jewish mothers would say, finish your plate. Well, they're against the Rambam. The Rambam says, don't finish your plate. Leave something over. Don't run. You can have, you know, you can leave one thing over, indicating you're in control of the situation. You're not just like an animal. That the others just whatever's in front of them, they have to eat. We are in control of our desires. We desire to eat. It's healthy to eat. Tzadik ochel lasova nafsho. A tzadik eats to be satiated. And he should try to eat healthy foods. And that's the best thing to eat. So, forgive me for this little extra, you might use the expression, Musa. I'm giving Musa to myself, really. Rabbi Yisrael says that whatever you give Musa, it's always to yourself. Whoever's listening is listening. You know, you have to try to stay within your, you're too young, Baruch Hashem. You don't know anything about these things. But I have to go to an annual checkup to a doctor. And every time you go to the checkup, they give you a there's a chart. You've been in the doctor's office recently? There's a chart. Normal, overweight, what's the next one? Obese, Rahmana Litzlan. Thank God I'm still I'm still normal. By the edge, but I'm Baruch Hashem, still normal. And I try hard to follow the Rambam. I try. I have a sweet tooth like everybody else. We all know we have Redivus Macholos. You have to try. You have to try very hard I try very hard to maintain a semblance of what I was many years ago. And Baruch Hashem, I got married quite a number of years ago. I believe tomorrow night is my anniversary, if I'm not mistaken. And Baruch Hashem, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, I'm still wearing my wedding suit. I don't wear oil every year. I saw it at the beginning. It's a minig. Just to give me a little reminder what I was like, you know? Some years it's a little bit tough, but it gives me an impetus, you know? I can still button the jacket, if you change a little bit. But thank God. I have a lot of friends. Unfortunately, not as able to fit into their wedding suits. It's only because of the Rambam. The Rambam says, watch out for Rediva Samacholos. I'm somewhat guilty. I'm at the upper edge of the normal, but still. Okay. So, Kas. Kas is a very, very bad midah, and I've spent so much time trying to not fall in. It's difficult. Because, in Pirkei Avos, we read there are four types of individuals. Some, easy to anger and easy to appease. I'm not going to read the four. I think I'm in that category. Easy to anger, easy to appease. You have to know yourself. Right? So I have to try not to anger easily. I try hard, but we don't always succeed. Eva, we shouldn't hate people. Kinder, we shouldn't be jealous. Tachlis, shouldn't compete. Hitler, we shouldn't scoff too much. We shouldn't run after money or glory. This is each one of these things is a lifetime work. As Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said, those who have these midas, and many of us have at least one of them, you have to try to do tshuva from these midas. Again, nach besadu racheinu v'nach korah, you have to spy, eloz v'alulun v'yasuru. But it's not enough to merely search as you will with a flashlight or the candle, as it says in the beginning of Pesachah by Bedikas Chametz. V'nach korah means to examine. To examine, I believe, means to analyze. In other words, if you're searching, so either you see it or you don't see it. But sometimes something which may seem innocuous to you, upon careful reflection and examination, is really objectionable. And you didn't notice it because you didn't look beyond the superficial. So we're required to do two things. Nachba sadarachena v'nach korah. If you're a spy, you have to be like Sherlock Holmes. He didn't just see what he saw. He saw the deeper meaning of what he saw. That's a great spy. So we too, nach v'sadarachena v'nach korah. We think, this doesn't look too bad at first glance. Look again. Maybe it really does require significant improvement. Maybe something really is wrong. So therefore, this is the simple translation of Elul. not the Achen of Anilu Dodi V'Dodi Li, but rather examination, searching, spying, with the result, Nach Basad Rechen of Anach Korah, don't forget the second half, V'Nashuv El Hashem. Okay, now, by now, you probably thought of some other acronyms. What else does Elul stand for? Please raise a hand. What else does Elul Aleph Lamed Vav Lamed stand for? Aside from Adida Dodiva Dodili. Does anybody know? Yes? Excellent. Ishtere Eu Matanos La Evyonim. You know where that puzzle comes from. Where's that from? The Megillah. Megillah's Esther. And it tells us that we have a responsibility one day a year on Purim to give to the poor. Now unto the poor, Ishtarei was to our friends, Shalach Manas, and Matanos Avion to the poor. This emphasizes, ladies, the Ben Adon Nechaveiro dimension of Chodesh Elul. Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li is Ben Adam L'Makom. Ishtarei Matanos Avionim. This is Ben Adam Lachavero. And you have to improve in both areas. It's not sufficient to focus on one. If you focus on one and abandon the other, it's a disaster. We just came out of Chodesh Av 2 weeks ago, the month of Churban, and the Mefarshim point out that in the first base of Migdash they were deficient, primarily Ben Adam Lamakom. And the second, they were deficient primarily in Beit Adam Lachavero. And each time the Mikdash was destroyed. You have to have both. You need to have both. Otherwise, we cannot stand. Our Mikdash cannot stand. And we cannot stand as individuals. Duvavi Mishkan Evne. Supposed to build the Mishkan in our own hearts. Cannot stand. Does you have both Beit Adam Lamakom and Beit Adam Lachavero? As a matter of fact, the Navi Zechariah prophesies that these fasts will one day be the Sasan and the Simcha and the Adam Tovim. There'll be days of joy. We're waiting for that. But he has a condition. For Ha'emes V'Hashalom Ehavu. Emes represents Torah, truth, Benav Lamoko. Shalom represents Benav Lachavero. The first place of Mish lacked Emes, the second lacked Shalom. They were both destroyed. As a matter of fact, and the Sefer Meshech Chochma in Parshas Vayero, he explained that the very name Yerushalayim reflects this duality. The Medrash tells us that Hashem, when he wanted to name his capital city, which is not found in the Chumash, it's just HaMokam HaShiyivcher Hashem, it's only found later on. So he said, Avram Avinu called this city Yireh, Hashem Yireh by the Akedah. Shem ben Noach Malki Tzedek Melech Wat Melech Shalem. And Hashem, the Medrash says, we're not going to call it only Yireh, not going to call it only Shalem, Yerushalayim, a combination. Meshech Chochma Vayero explains, when you name a capital city, you name it after your main goal in life. Avraham Avinu's goal in life was Hashem Yireh, to spread monotheism. Shem ben Noach, who lived through the Mabul, his main purpose in life was to spread decency and peace and interpersonal relationships which are proper. That's called Shalem. And Hashem said, neither will suffice. You can't have Yireh without Shalem. You can't have Shalem without Yireh. You have to have both. Ben Adam Lamakom Yireh and Ben Adam Lachaver Shalem. So therefore, Ishtere Eyu Matanos Lavyonim is a very critical component of Elul. It teaches us how to, number one, be nicer to our friends, Re'eyu, and number two, to try to take care of those who need our help. Those who need our help, we have to try to help them as much as we possibly can. Whether it means help financially, which right now most of you are unable to offer, perhaps one day. But Evyonim doesn't only mean Evyonim who are poor financially. Evyonim can also mean those who are poor socially. They need someone to smile at them. Maybe they're not so cool. Is that the right word? Or chilled. And so people don't give them, you know, a real smile. That's a mistake. You get me another Rambam if you don't mind. This is, you got me Mado, he gave me Zmanim. Zmanim is Beis in this series. You know what? But you know the Rambam, which tells us that helping others, thank you, is not limited to those who are literally impoverished, although that's very important, no question about it, but it extends to others as well. The Rambam tells us in a number of places that this is a big mitzvah. Since we began by quoting the pasuk, thank you very much, Ish Tereheu Matanos Levyonim, it's appropriate that we read a Rambam in Hilchos Megillah, Perek Beis Halacha Yud Zayin. It's better to give more Matanos Levyonim than Shalach Manos. It explains She'ein Sham Simcha Gedola Uforora Elo L'Sameach Lev Aniim V'Yisomim V'Amanos V'Gerim. There is no greater and more splendid joy than to gladden the hearts of the poor, the orphans, widows, and strangers. They're not necessarily poor, but they have a certain challenge in life. And look at the word he uses. Shamesameach lev ha'umrolim ha'elu. These, we'll call it unfortunates, whether it be financial or social, family, whatever it may be. Dome l'shchina. It's compared to Hashem, Shenema, as it says, and here's Haftarah for Yom Kippur. I keep getting all the Haftarahs. Lahachios ruach shefolim, ulahachios lev nitkoim. Some of us say this in Motzoi Shabbos, in Vyidun Lecha. Who revives the spirit of the lowly and revives the heart of the crushed. This is the ultimate joy. People talk about trembling in Elul. I got to speak about rejoicing in Elul. But how do you rejoice in Elul? By following Ishtere Eru Matanos Levyonim. Focus on gifts for not only poor people, not only financial gifts, but making people happy, smiling, being friendly. Hashem is the source of all joy. Oz v'chedra b'mkomo. We say it every morning in Hodu from Divrei Hayamim. And if we are like Hashem, we are going to feel joyous. Not just that. Ein sham simcha gedola u'forora. No word is wasted in the Rambam, my Rebbe taught. Gedola means great, before means splendid. Great, I believe, is quantitative. And the Rambam is contrasting the joy of giving to the poor with that of eating and drinking with your friends. There's only a certain amount that a person is able to eat or drink. After that, the stomach can no longer contain it. But is no limit to the amount of joy which can be experienced by giving. And that's because Hashem is infinite. And if you are comparable to Hashem because you give, you are the smallest fraction of the infinite, which is also infinity. So you can rejoice forever. You can never get tired of giving more and more of yourself, whether it be money, friendship, or anything, as opposed to food. How much can you eat? There's a limit. So therefore, thank you so much for your suggestion of Ishre'eu Matanos Levyonim for Elul. This focuses on the Ben Adam L'Chaveo on both levels. Be nice to your friends. You should have good friends and be kind and don't speak bad about people. You know, I spoke this past Shabbos in my shul about, we read the pasuk of Zachar, Os Hashem Elkech LeMiriam, and the Ramban comments, this is a mitzvah losa, say, one of the 365, even though he claims that the Rambam and the Bahagol forgot it, quote unquote. How can it be, writes the Ramban, that such a serious matter of Lashon Hara, which is compared to murder, as it were, should not have its own losa, say, its negative commandment? And here, I again speaking to myself as I did on Shabbos, the Ramban explains there are two kinds of Lashon Hara. There's the malicious, with intent to damage Lashon Hara, that's the worst Lashon Hara. But then there's what we might consider the innocuous Lashon Hara, the kind of Miriam. Miriam didn't try to hurt her brother. She loved her brother, she loved herself. She had saved her brother way back when, in the Nile River.
And what did she say? She told it to the other brother, Aaron. She doesn't understand what happened exactly with Tzipora, said something, they were separated. Oh, no, you all know the Rashi and end of Pashas Baal Oscha. All this didn't help her. Even though she meant well, and she didn't mean to harm. And here I will share with you my interpretation of a Rashi at the very beginning of Shlach again. We started the Shlach with the Asuru, means the Alalun of Elul. The first Rashi in Shlach says, why is Shlach come right after the story of Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam when she received Tzaras for speaking ill? Writes Rashi from Chazal that these Rishayim, these spies, saw what happened to Miriam was punished for Lashon Hara, v'lo lokhu musar, and they didn't take the lesson of what happened. And this is a very big question over here. Miriam spoke ill, as it were, of her brother Moshe. Why is he holier than thou? He's separated from his wife. We're not separated from our spouses, you and me, says Miriam to Aaron. But the Meraglim, they didn't speak bad about anybody. They spoke, if you will, bad about an inanimate object called Eretz Yisrael. And they call it an Eretz Ocheles Yoshveh, a land that devours its inhabitants. What does that have to do with Lashon Hara? My pshat is as follows. We're talking now about the innocuous kind of Lashon Hara, which is based, listen carefully please, on, and here I'm speaking primarily to myself, on not knowing the facts. Miriam was critical of Moshe because she did not know the facts. And Hashem told her the facts. Rashi explains, I told Moshe to separate from his wife. His prophecy is different than yours. I told him. Now, had Miriam known on a simple level that Hashem told him, she wouldn't have said boo. She just didn't know the facts. Instead of speaking to her brother Aaron, she should have spoken to her brother Moshe. Ask him, what's going on here? And he would have told her, Hashem said, what can I do? I'm following what Hashem said. It's a simple pshat. So to the Meraglim. What do they see, Rashi says? Eretz Ocheles Yoshveh. There were funerals upon funerals upon funerals. Wherever they went, the funerals. And they came to the conclusion, you can't live in this land. It just kills you. It must be said, the air is bad, the germs, bacteria, who knows what. But Rashi comments, no. Hashem arranged all these funerals so that the Meraglim should escape unnoticed. The very fact that Hashem intervened on behalf of the Meraglim was misinterpreted. They should have gone to Moshe and say, why so many funerals? He would have told them what Rashi said. Their funerals were put there so you shouldn't be noticed by the population. They didn't get the facts right. Instead of going to Moshe, they went to the people and said, the land is uninhabitable. You can't live there. I speak again to myself. This kind of Lashon Hara is very hard to avoid. You hear something and you assume for some reason that it may be true, and you jump to conclusions. And even if you don't really mean to harm people, you don't want to hurt people, not malice, but you just, words exit your mouth that shouldn't, because check the facts out better. And very often you find that what you heard, what you read, what you saw, I'm giving you the various options these days, is not based in fact. It's based upon a total absence of fact or a distortion of fact, an exaggeration, who knows what. These are very, very serious matters which require our careful tshuva in the month of Elul. Okay, now raise your hand again. What does Elul stand for? Aleph, Lamed, Vav, Lamed. Anybody know? Yes? Uva Letzion with Goel. The Gimel, how's that get in there? Whatever it is, it's somewhere in there. Okay, you're probably right. The other, yes? Very good. Ina Liado Visamtiv Loch. That's part of the pasuk of Parashas Mishpatim. Ina liyado v'samti loch makom, samti lochom makom. That means it's a place in Ir Mikla to run away if you sinned b'shogeg. And here we have another very important hint for Chodesh Elul. If you will, if ani l'dodi v'dodi li refers to ben adam la makom, and ishtere e'u matanos levyon refers to ben adam la chavero, perhaps ino liyado v'samti loch refers to what the Vilna Gaon called Ben Adam La'atzmo. We spoke before about these Midos Ros. Is it primarily Ben Adam La'atzmo? If a person gets angry and he starts, there's an expression in the Gemara, Ragzan Eino Ela Ragzanuse. All he's left at the end is his anger. That's it. It's an internal shortcoming. He can't control his anger. The person runs after food, we have an example. He's not hurting anybody else. He's not really a Ben Adam La'Mokom, really. It's Ben Adam La'atzmo. You're hurting yourself. It's critical that we recognize that this idea of tshuva from the Yaz of Rosh Darko is derech, right? Nachmasa derechenu is equally important than the Kwan Deram Menuchos Tshuva, perhaps even more important, and perhaps even more difficult, as the Rambam said, in our Tshuva process. So therefore, to sum up, we're halfway through Elul. How far have we gotten in our Tshuva process in these three areas? Of Ben Adam Lamoko, how is our davening? Are we davening properly? We have proper kavana. We bench. We have proper kavana. Are we careful in our observance of Shabbos and Kashrus and all the other halachas that we're supposed to keep in the ritual sphere? I believe even more importantly for us, the Ben Adam LaChavero, how are we doing in our interpersonals? Be careful about Lashon Hara, and be careful about, you know, not being kind to people, whether they're your peers or those who require assistance. And yes, Ben Adam Le'atzmo, the derech, our path in life, also requires careful scrutiny in the spirit of nachpas adorcheinu, of searching, and v'nachkor, and examining, v'nashuva l'Hashem to do tshuva. These are some thoughts that we should be thinking about as we approach the midpoint of the month of Elul. I want to end with one final point. In Haftarah of Shabbos Shuvah, we say, Shuvah Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokech. First pasuk. The very next pasuk, also a song, Chu Imachem Dvarim V'Shuvu El Hashem. Two different prepositions are used. Shuvah Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokech, and then V'Shuvah El Hashem. What's the difference between Ad and El? Perhaps we can draw the following distinction. The Malbim seems to go the other way. That Ad means until, all the way until. Right? Ani Noseya Ad Yerushalayim. Means I'm going to get into Yerushalayim. Ad v'ad b'chlal. For the Shuv Yisrael, Ad Hashem Elokech, all the way to the goal line, to the finish line. A complete and perfect tshuva, which of course is our ultimate goal. But the Navi Hosea is a realist. Not everybody can go all the way. He says, at least the shuvu el Hashem. Take a few steps, get closer towards Hashem. Even if you cannot make it all the way, still any gesture of tshuva is meaningful. Is meaningful. I don't want to leave you, Chalila, with a spirit that tshuva is so onerous, so impossible, so difficult to achieve. So I can't do it all. I won't do anything. Chas v'chalila. If that's what you learn from this sicha, it's the opposite of my intention. My whole point is, there are three separate areas to focus on. Of course you should focus on all three. But let's say you can't do all three at once. Pick one. Benaram lechaveru, benaram leasu, benaram lamoko. Pick one. And if you can't get it all the way in your elimination of any shortcoming, and even in any one of the three, well, go halfway, as far as you can go. We're not giving you an easy pass. No, you're supposed to do it as far as you can to the end. But just in case you can't, every little tiny, tiny, tiny gesture of tshuva is important and is beloved by Hashem. And so I leave you all with a bracha. As we're about to approach the midpoint of Elul, are we ready? Of course not. That was a rhetorical question. We're never really ready. But let me give you a piece of advice. Don't wait till Rosh Hashanah night to start preparing for the Yom HaDin. If you would have to face a trial in a human court of law, you would spend at least 2 weeks prepping. At least. Prepping, you know, the judge is going to look at this and look at that, look at this and look at that. We say in the Nisana Tog of Prayer and Rosh Hashanah Musaf that every human being passes before Hashem, and Hashem looks, as it were, at every person individually. And there's no escaping that look. We're all going to be judged. We have to be prepared for that day of judgment. Let us, each and every one of us, search, examine our ways, improve ourselves in all these three areas. And if we're successful, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will undoubtedly bless us with the Ksiva V'Chasim Atova and the Shnas Chayim V'Shalom. Amen V'Yomi.
Wow.
He's so good.